Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 1. If you've got the same Bible as I have, most of you probably have, it's page 777. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. May we be like that too. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Cheers. So that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning, what it means for us to be clay in the potter's hands. We're very thankful to those who are going to be leading us in our singing this morning. If you'd like to stand, if you're able, we'll begin. My wife Hannah was busy last night making Play-Doh for us all. I hope you had a better Saturday night than we did. But if you'd like to grab a cup on the windowsills, then there are lots of lumps of Play-Doh, which would be good to hand around. And I was told some time ago that sometimes it helps people to actually focus to things which are being said if they have something just to play with in their hand, something tactile to hold and to shape and to play with. So feel free to be playing with your Play-Doh as I speak. I won't be all that offended. And the reason why we have got some Play-Doh will hopefully become a little bit clearer in a few minutes' time. So if you live locally here, you will most likely, if you go into your garden, find some very nice sandy soil, which is really good for growing many plants in. The house that Hadra and I have in Essex does not have sandy soil, but soil which is full of clay. And when people said to us before we moved in, you'll have clay in your soil, I just thought it would be quite a bad consistency. But actually, as you look at the soil in our garden in Essex, you will actually find big lumps of actual clay, which makes it very difficult to grow things. And clay, as an item, is obviously incredibly abundant. You can obviously buy big lumps of clay on Amazon, which is what I was tempted to do before Hannah said she knew how to make Play-Doh, so that was handy. But you don't have to go on Amazon to buy clay. You can just find it in the ground. It is that abundant. But at the same time, clay in its kind of more natural form is very plain to look at. It's not exactly something all that spectacular. And because of its abundance, because of how plain and ordinary it is, clay in itself doesn't have much monetary value to it. And so in a sense, we could describe humanity as a little bit like clay. For one thing, there are many of us. There are over 7 billion people in the world. It's not as if we're running out of people, is it? It's not as if we're a scarce commodity. Because there's so many of us, in certain ways, without being too rude or harsh, you know you're going to be offended now, we are quite ordinary. You might think that you're very spectacular, and maybe you are, but for most of us, we're quite ordinary people. And perhaps because there's so many of us, because we don't put much value on ourselves, we don't tend to think much of ourselves. But God gives us an illustration in the book of Jeremiah, and he actually gives us other illustrations as well throughout Scripture, where he describes us as being like clay. But rather than being a bit of a downer of what I've just shared over the last minute, it is actually a real encouragement for us to be thinking of ourselves as clay this morning. I think we'd hopefully agree that we are all made of the earth. We're all made of the same substance as the whole of creation. I'm someone who has to do funerals, and the most famous lines that I have to do at funerals are from dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And it's this idea that we all come from the ground, in a sense, and one day we will return to the ground as well. And it's commonly said that we are made of stardust, that in all of this universe, of all the things that have been created, of all the matter and of the cells and of the molecules, we are made of essentially the same stuff as the ground, the same as the whole of creation. And so whether you have a Christian faith or not, that's got to be a bit of a wow moment just for you to be thinking of each day, of how we might think of ourselves as ordinary, but just the skin that we have and the bones that we have and every part of us is intrinsically linked to the soil, to the ground, to the rest of creation. I hope that amazes us. You don't give the impression that you're amazed, but I hope maybe later on when you think about it a bit more, you will feel amazed about that. But as people who follow Jesus, as people who follow Jesus's word, we have even more wonderful truths to bask in and to be amazed by as well. Because not only are we, in some senses, earth or the ground or made out of clay, but we aren't just lumps of clay, but rather we have been formed as our cells and our molecules have been formed into a being. That is no mistake. It didn't just happen because of some science experiment going wrong, but it's because we have a potter. For any nice piece of pottery that you look at, it wasn't just randomly found in someone's garden in Essex, but rather it was formed by a potter. Now, if we think of a potter for a moment, before he even begins his day, before he even sticks the kettle on, he's got a good idea of what he is going to make with lumps of clay that he has got in his workshop. Before he even gets all of his bits together, he is thinking and deciding and choosing what kind of pottery, what kind of design, what kind of form and purpose he is going to make out of just this lump of clay that is put in front of him. Our potter, our divine potter, has a similar thought and a similar intention. The day that we were born wasn't because God thought on that day, you know what, let's just create some more people, that'll be fun. But rather, even before he made the world, before he made matter, before he made cells and molecules and everything that we can sense around us, before all of that, he chose us. He designed us. He created us in our being. He created us with our body, with our mind, and with our soul. We are not an afterthought or a last-minute decision. But all of us have got wonderful value because we have been thought about in eternity past. He is a potter in that way. Then the human potter will then, once he's got his cup of tea, will then get to work. He places a lump of clay on the wheel. He makes sure he has a nice lot of water around with him so that the clay doesn't dry out and become hard. And then he uses his hands so carefully to create a piece of intricate and beautiful pottery. The fact is, because he works with clay, which dries out so quickly, that gets hard so quickly, he's probably got very dry, crusty hands. But the fact is, he still uses these hands in the most delicate of ways in carefully creating something wonderful. Our divine potter says that he has made us with such care and with such detail as well, that he has formed each of us into being a masterpiece. So although he has created 7 billion of us today, and there have been billions of people who have lived before us, it's not as if he's put us all on a production line and just created us in a uniform way, but rather he has created us as a masterpiece. He has put that care and he has put that attention, he has put that gentleness into creating each of us, which again is another wonderful encouragement. A potter has to decide what he's going to make. He might make an ornament, something which looks nice, and then he can sell it, and then someone just puts it up on the shelf. But also, he might make useful items as well. He might make a vase, or he might make some cups, or some bowls, or some plates. In the same way, our divine potter doesn't just create us to look pretty and then put us on a shelf, but rather we see that he has created us for a good purpose, for us to be doing good works. That no matter what our age, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our gifts, no matter what we think of ourselves, for each and every one of us here today, he has got good things which he has planned for us. And again, they weren't just good things which he's planned for us on the hop today, but rather they're good things that he has planned for us so long ago. Once the potter has got his pottery and it has taken shape, he knows it's going to be drying out soon, so he has to form it well. And then he puts it into a kiln, like a really big hot oven, so that it can dry out, so that it will be solid and that it will be strong in its form. He then leaves it to cool down. He then will glaze it to give it an outer coating and protection. And then he'll put it back in the kiln again just to help that glaze become hard. And then it's at that point that his piece of pottery is finished. Sometimes we can think of ourselves as complete. Perhaps over the years we've managed to get a lot of experience, maybe in work, maybe in family, maybe just in life in general. Sometimes we feel like we're complete because we feel like we've accomplished a lot. And we could reel off to other people here of all the things that we've managed to achieve in our years on earth. And sometimes we feel like we're complete just because we're wise and because we think that we know better than everyone else. When we feel like we're complete, when we feel like the potter has finished with us and created something wonderful and the finished article, the pride that we get from that can start to harden us. It can be like we're no longer able to change or be moved or be transformed, but we feel very stuck in our ways because we feel that we are complete and the world and God just needs to accept us just as we are. This is what most people perhaps think. Although they might not express it, we can think of it when we're having our proud moments. But the reality is that whilst we're on earth, we are not finished. We are not the complete product. We are not the finished piece of pottery that can then be put on a shelf to look pretty. But rather, whilst we're still here on earth, in a sense, we are still on our divine potter's wheel. He wants to keep on forming us. And so for that to happen, we can't be hardened by our pride. If we're proud in our hearts, if we're stuck in the way that we are, then it's very difficult for God to be able to do something in order to change us, to help transform us and develop us. But rather, we need to be people who seek to be soft people, people who are malleable, people who are pliable. And what do we need to be able to do that? Yes, it's good to have a good attitude in terms of being open to having our minds changed and our gifts and experiences changed as well. But also, I would say that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. This is just an image of a potter. And whilst he is crafting a wonderful piece, I don't know what it's going to turn into, he has got a big bowl next to him. And that bowl is full of water. And whilst the pottery is spinning on the wheel, he is constantly having to dip a hand into the water so that he can keep his piece of pottery nice and wet and moist so that it can keep on being shaped. And I feel like, in a sense, every one of us needs the water and the freshness and the power of the Holy Spirit in that pot in each of our lives. Keep on asking that the Holy Spirit would be keeping us soft so that God, in his big, careful hands, can keep on changing us and can keep on transforming us. These things which I'm sharing with you are very easy to say, but very hard to live out each day. We can be so sure of our values and our opinions. So easily can we become hard-hearted that it's very difficult for us to keep on growing and being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we've got a little illustration for you this morning with your Play-Doh. So I'd like you to grab a lump of Play-Doh, and just over the next minute or so, I'd like you to shape it into a piece of pottery. So, you don't have any water, it's not going to dry out. You don't have a potter's wheel, but just with your piece of Play-Doh, maybe make a vase, maybe make a bowl, maybe make a plate. What's that? Or you could make a pretzel with it. That's an interesting idea. Try and put some detail on it and see what you can do with it. I'll just give you a couple more seconds just for you to perfect it. Okay, and if you have taken part, could you please lift up your masterpiece into the air? There we go. Yeah, I think I can make out what some of them are, so that's brilliant. That's really good. Okay, so now I would like you to swap your creation with another person. So just someone close by, just swap. Now, once you've done that, I would like you to alter it in some way. So if it is a plate, try and keep it a plate. If it is a vase, try and keep it a vase. If it is a pretzel, try and keep it as a pretzel. But alter it in some way. Do your own little improvement on it. And then once you've done that, swap back so that you've got your original piece. So a rhetorical question for you now is, how do you feel? How do you feel now that what you have created has now been altered in some way? Some of you might be thinking that it's improved. Some of you won't be thinking that. But how do you feel about it? Now, it's unlikely that you're going to feel that strong about your creation being changed, because it is something you've spent 30 seconds on. It's not something that you're going to be too precious about, hopefully. And I don't see any tears, so that should be all right. But imagine now that your piece of Play-Doh isn't something that you spent 30 seconds creating, but actually it's something that you spent years and years and years creating and perfecting. It might not be a vase, it might not be a pretzel, it might be a big piece of art, it might be a huge painting, or it might be a sculpture of some sort, something that you started when you were a young child, and each week, each month, each year, you have been working on it tirelessly to be getting it just right and to be improving it and to be improving it and to improving it. And you're so pleased with what you've created. How would you feel if then I asked you to swap it with someone else and then they just start playing around with it? They start changing it. I imagine you'd feel incredibly worried, and many of you would feel very upset that the thing that you'd spent so much time on had now been changed. That would truly be a humbling experience, wouldn't it? And that is the kind of feeling that sometimes we can feel inside. Okay, we may have not been sculpting something, or we may not have had our paintbrushes out since we were children, but ever since a young age, we have been creating an image for ourselves. We have been creating a reputation for ourselves. We have been creating a legacy and a life and a lifestyle for ourselves. And most of us, after a certain point, would feel pretty pleased with what we had created, how we had turned out in terms of our personality, in terms of our character, in terms of the ways in which we live. Just how it would be very difficult to hand over a piece of art to someone else that we created to have it changed. So it can be very difficult for us to be handing ourselves over to the great potter and say, you know what? I've done some stuff in my life. I've created something for myself in my life. But I want it to be changed. I want it to be transformed. I want it to be renewed by you. And that is the true humility that I'd love for myself and for all of us to be seeking more and more over the coming months. For us to be humble and saying, well, whatever I've created for myself, I want the divine potter to keep me pliable, to keep me soft, and to shape me into the person that he wants me to be, to have the purpose that he wants me to have. As we think about back to school this morning, we have the reality that for teachers and for teaching assistants and for other staff, they are limited in how they can teach by the students and by the pupils that they have. You could be the best teacher in the world. You could be an amazing communicator, have wonderful charisma, have wonderful knowledge about your subject. But if your students aren't open to learning, if they're not soft and pliable in their thinking, if your students aren't teachable, then you're not going to get very far. And in the same way, each of us, whether we go to school or whether we don't, as we live our lives, we need to be soft and pliable so that we can be changed and transformed for the glory of God and also for his purposes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have given us this wonderful illustration of a potter with his lump of clay. I thank you, Father, for each of us this morning of the inherent value that we each have, because you have taken that care in eternity past to carefully and wonderfully and lovingly to create each of us in the ways in which we are. But at the same time, Father, we don't just want to stay the way that we are. We bless you and we thank you for the many qualities that we have. But we appreciate that part of the reason of having this wonderful life is to keep on changing, to keep on transforming, so that we can be empty vessels for you. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be doing a great work in each of us, keeping us soft, keeping us pliable, so that we become the people not only that we want to be, not only the people that we dreamed of being when we were children, but that we might become the people of you. And that as we are made ever more in your image and likeness through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would live to function for you and for your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to verses. We're going to respond to the message that I've shared this morning with a hymn. So if you're able, would you please stand?